Hello, everyone, and welcome to another night of Fandom Access. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations! I was going to say the ladies, and I forgot Jamie is not joining us tonight. We have a short show. So it's just me and Karen to do Colony the 100 and Preacher. And until Karen gets here, I actually have something to talk about. The Santa Clarita Diet on Netflix, starring Timothy Olyphant and the lovely Miss Drew Barrymore, is friggin' hilarious. I've seen things about it, and I've always wanted to check it out because I love Drew Barrymore and Timothy Olyphant. And I finally started watching it, and it is really, really, really funny. The premise is Drew Barrymore's character, Sheila, somehow becomes a zombie. And they have no idea how. And it's just funny how they can make murder funny. I mean, everything's tongue-in-cheek, and it's just really, really funny. So I've been watching that lately. I'm about halfway through season two, and I hear there is going to be a season three. So, it's quite funny. I enjoy it. So, if you like stupid humor, or you like either of those actors, or both, or whatever, check it out. It's really worth it. So, what else is going on in the world today? While I wait for you. Oh, never mind. Here's Karen. Hello.
Hi, AJ. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks. I think, did we decide Jamie's not going to be with us tonight?
Yes.
Yes.
So we just have Colony the 100 and Preacher.
Okay, it should be a pretty short show then.
Yep.
I watched all three of them yesterday.
What would you like to start with?
Oh, any of them. I watched all three of them yesterday, and they're all fresh in my mind, so... I could take any of them. What do you want to do? We should have a schedule before we get on
Colony.
The air and go through this. Okay, let's start with Colony.
We'll do them how I wrote them down.
Okay, let's do that. I mean, I think it was better again this week. I think the show is like, as it returns to its more familiar storyline and format, it's better each week, I think. It's nice to have the gang back together, mostly, and it's nice to have sort of, you know, we see how Alan's coming back into play. I guess we knew he couldn't stay in Switzerland all season, and they have an objective, and I don't know, it had a little bit of a falling skies moment there, right? That worried me. What do you think?
I think I want to stab Alan with something really, really dull. He is awful.
The worst.
Wow. he even basically told Helena where to stick it.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like you blew up our assets, and he's like, hey, you got to go big, and she's like, well, and he's like, no, just but no, and she's like, okay. I was like, no. He is just...
Yeah, and here we were having hope that the death of Charlie maybe had brought him around a little bit, and not at all. He's still totally self-interested.
He is self-interested, but I really think this new path is because of Charlie. Like, I really think Snyder has convinced himself that his way is going to save the most lives. Like, he is just... Because he believes going against the IGA is a bad thing. So going against the IGA can get people killed. So therefore, he's all in. I mean, and he is just. What did he say? He said something to Helena about how, and he made a comment about how manipulative he is and how good he is at it. I forget exactly what he said, but he is just full blown asshole. Holy crap!
Yeah. There was, there was a point where Kynes makes this comment about how the people that are all up in the IGA are people that believe they're going to be the ones to repopulate the earth, and how they've sort of like sold out humanity for their own like safety or whatever. And
right.
I think like a lot of them tell themselves they're saving people because that's what they have to do to be able to sleep at night. But Snyder, like, I mean, he's probably in that shape also, but he like really believes it, I think.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
He's really not changed,
you know,
at all.
And I thought it was really great when Kynes, you know, shed some light that he realized, you know, because we see that flashback when they're doing the algorithm test and everything, and he's like, that's not why this was designed. How can you pick this guy? And we don't know at what point he realized it, but I like he makes a comment to Snyder about why he was chosen, because he was a spineless, Weasley type person that could be easily controlled. And that's, you know, they basically did the opposite of what his program was designed for. Instead of finding the best of the best, they found people they could control, which is why he didn't understand what they were doing at first. And obviously he figured it out somewhere along the line, you know, and then creating his own army of outliers.
Yeah.
But yeah.
He's like the smartest guy in the room, and he's sort of the guy who gets it, that like, look, they picked you because you're dumb, not because you're smart, not because you're good, and, you know, because they can be used. He gets it also, I think, that humans are they've created this army, and the rest of them are sort of dispensable, and Kynes is, like, so far ahead of the game. Kynes is, so I didn't see it coming that, I mean, I think I saw it coming that Kynes, we all saw it coming that Kynes really was resisting, that Kynes was not really collaborating with the, like, I think we all saw this coming, that he was truly working against the aliens,
right.
But I didn't really see it coming, the part where he's built an ark, basically, and the people in Seattle are hand-selected to basically repopulate humanity after the revolution.
Yeah. And how awkward was that meeting between Katie and Amy?
Oh yeah, that was that was great. In a sad kind of way.
They were both like,
okay. I know you hate my husband, but sorry, we're all in it. That was really great. Yeah. She's, you know, Amy's been a little bit of a pain, although not necessarily wrong. But it's nice to see her come around a little bit also.
She was definitely better this episode. That's all she needed. She just needed another woman to join.
Yeah. And we needed her.
What were you saying?
Go ahead. We needed her because, like, in L.A., we had these sort of, like, associated people in the cell, right, who were sort of named characters that talked but weren't, you know, and we don't have a cell. We need to be populating the cell, and she's sort of she takes the place of some of the characters from L.A. I guess she's going to get with the program now and be cool with the groups. I want in, right?
Yeah. I love that scene towards the end when they've met with the other outliers and they're going to the meeting place, and the guys are like, we're going, and she says to Katie, she's like, well, what do you think? She's like, and Katie just has a dead look on her face. She's like, nobody asked me what I think. And you can tell she's pissed, but she's very calm about it. You know, I just thought that was a great scene. That was just like, ooh. Like, Will's going to pay for this one later.
Well, you know, Katie used to be Broussard's, like, very trusted lieutenant, and now he's got this new chick that he also trusts, and I guess there's a little bit of, like, competitiveness or something going on there between, I mean, they don't trust each other, they don't know each other, but they're sort of, like, I guess a little bit of competitiveness, I could call it. I don't know if that's really the right word.
I think the problem is, I think that's the problem, though, is Sarge and Will go off and don't even, you know, talk to Katie about it. You know what I mean? They're just, whatever. You know?
Yeah.
The men have this. Don't worry. And Katie's not. Katie's like a really self-sufficient, you know. I mean, she basically led her own little team. Like, she led a cell, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not when we first met her, but she's done things that Amy can't even imagine, really.
Amy's also a little bit, like, judgmental. Like, she's like, oh, Will is sick. You people are, you know, she's a little judgmental, and she hasn't really,
yeah.
I mean, okay, she's lived through the occupation, but she hasn't, like, as far as we know, she's alluded vaguely to being caught in L.A. during when the aliens came, so she doesn't have any family because, you know, they were separated and whatever. But as far as we know, she doesn't have any kids or anything, and she hasn't been through what, you know, Will and Katie, not only losing a kid, but they lived in, like, L.A. was one of the worst blocks. There were, like, bombs all the time. There was, like, you know, not enough food ever. They had a really, like, hard time in that block, and Amy was outside the block. Like, she, you know, she was that courier that helped smuggle people under the wall. She lived, I don't know where she lived, but San Francisco maybe or something, right? I don't know, but she hasn't been, anyway, I'm rambling, but she hasn't been through what those guys have been through, and she's a little bit judgmental with her whole, like, you know, like, I don't know, she's, like, kind of suggesting that Will needs some therapy and needs to talk, and yeah, he does, he's not doing it well, he's not handling it well, but, you know, I don't think she's in a position to judge, or she's a little, I'm not totally on board with her, she's kind of annoying, right? I can't really decide on that character.
Yeah, you know what it is? Part of it, she's, you know, she's a doctor, and she has that doctor god mentality, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and add in the fact that she hasn't been in the trenches like Will and Katie and Broussard. You know, she sees some bad stuff, but she hasn't really been in the thick of things until now. I think as more goes on, I think she'll start to realize, you know, like, I mean, she still believes in, you know, I'm not saying she should go around killing people, but the whole thing with when they kidnapped Snyder, she's like, I can't believe you're going to let him kill him. You know, like, it's like she doesn't get it. She still actually believes that doing the right thing is the right thing to do, you know?
Snyder totally deserves to be killed. I mean, Snyder.
Yeah.
Aside from whether or not Charlie Bowman is irrelevant. Snyder deserves to die, whether or not he ever met Charlie Bowman. I think because of, like, I mean, he's really responsible for everything that went down in L.A. that led to total rendition, and he knows everything the aliens are up to. He sent people to the farm. He's terrible, and he deserves it. And she doesn't really like. Get it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I like Snyder as a character, and yet as a person, I shouldn't really have any problem with him being killed because he's a horrible person who continues to not learn and to just do the wrong thing, right? Like, he continues to just go with the flow and, you know, work with the IGA. And, like, as we said, he thinks he's doing the right thing, but I don't know. We talk a lot about how every villain thinks they're doing the right thing, but I mean, he has to be a fundamentally flawed person to think he's doing the right thing here. There's just no.
And I think you're right about the girlfriend's father. He invites Bram and Gracie over again. And I just, something weird or bad or something's going to happen there one way or another. Something's definitely going to go down. You can just tell.
That guy's up to something.
Bram is, I'm not exactly sure where it's going to go, but it doesn't help that Bram's an idiot. He's just in idiot mode again.
He is, and you'd think he would have. I know he's still a teenager, and teenagers, like, make bad decisions and, you know, maybe are not as perceptive as they need to be. But Bram's been through a lot and really up in the resistance, and he, I think, should know better also. Like, he should have some kind of radar telling him that this guy's interest. I mean, is he just so in love with that girl? For this guy to just invite the kid over and be like, oh, you, and, like, invite the sister, right? Like, he invites his girlfriend, his daughter's boyfriend, and little sister back for dinner. I mean, he's definitely trying to, like, ingratiate himself with Bram and Gracie. I don't know if he maybe suspects Will and Katie or suspects the whole family is not who they say they are. They do act very squirrely. He may, and if he suspects them, then the question is he like an outlier and a good guy, or is he like up in the IGA and a bad guy?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like there's got to be something that's going to happen there, because why are they focusing so much on it? Okay, it was one thing to introduce us to the girlfriend's parents, but in the very next episode, we see more interaction. So I just feel like it's you know.
Yeah, they're setting something up there, for sure. Yeah.
So,
yeah, they're setting something up.
Anything else?
So, yeah, the big moment where we see, like, the very opening scenes where we see, like, a couple of outliers who basically are, like, Army Rangers who can't even – I don't know why they have created an army that can't communicate with each other. Like, why – I don't know how they got two people who – one speaks Chinese and one speaks whatever – dropped into what appears to be the – I don't know. That was weird. Right? Like, they both – they can't – it's not like – okay, we have a bunch of American outliers that we're turning into, like, super soldiers out on that, you know, platform there in the water, and then we're going to, like, deploy them to some, I don't know, that was weird, right? But then they immediately get wiped out by an alien, and we get, like, a glimpse of this alien's, like, half of his face or whatever, and that's the moment that I felt had, like, a real falling skies kind of uh-oh moment for me, right?
Yeah. Actually, you know what I had a Predator moment. It made me think of Predator.
Yes. When he was like invisible, and then he suddenly like you see that shimmer, and he's visible all of a sudden. Yeah, that totally had a Predator. I felt the exact same way. I forgot about that. And they're already so. I mean, I guess what's important there, maybe I don't know what's important there. I didn't love that scene. But they're talking about preparing and creating this weapon and this army to prepare for when the clique's enemies come, and they're already there, right? They're already on the ground. They're already on Earth. So the war has begun, pretty much. I don't know. What do you think about, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, our sort of trepidation over this storyline.
The enemy of my enemy can work, and, you know, I shouldn't look at Colony and think about Falling Skies, but I remember how bad that storyline was. I mean, Falling Skies started out as such a great show, and it kept going downhill, and they kept running into friggin' Genie everywhere they went, and it didn't work. It did not work. It was awful. It got to be really bad, and you know, every week there was a new alien. Every week there was a new alien. Oh, this is the big bad right here. Nope, that big bad has a boss. Okay, this is the big bad. Nope, still not yet.
No, this one has a father. It's the alien's father who's really the bad guy, or the good guy. And it was. I thought for a minute, are we gonna make alien friends now on the show the way they did on the. You know, again, we shouldn't compare it, but
no, we shouldn't. That's where our trepidation comes from.
Right.
But even with the enemy of my enemy storyline, I don't foresee anybody. I don't see Will and one of the they call them so many different things. I can't even think of one now. The rats.
Yeah, the rats.
They don't. You know, I can't see Will and a rat going out for a beer and shoot some pool. You know, even if they're on the same side, quote-unquote.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there is no side to be on because, like, they just chose our planet as a battleground and, like, made us into a weapon. There's no real, like, desire to save Earth or anything like that being seen here at all. Yeah. So one thing I would hate to lose as they go forward, you know, the show, you know, was inspired by, Carlton Cuse was inspired by the idea of, the Nazi occupation of Paris, right? And the whole thing, like, do you collaborate or not to collaborate, which was so strong in the first season, and even in the second season, like, you've seen Katie, you know, to choose to collaborate and to work for the authority and to try to fit in, and you know, we have Helena and Snyder, sort of the ultimate collaborators, and I love that part of the show, and that sort of like idea of like a moral choice that it's not you know, the most serious drama about it, but anyway, I'm rambling again. I would just hate to lose that part of the show.
Right.
As it goes, embraces the alienness of it, right? Like, we've never seen an alien. Like, we've seen the rats, but the rats are robots. Robot hybrids, whatever they are, hybrid. I don't know what they are, right? We don't really know what they are, but they involve a lot of technology. And we have, we're not really sure what they are. And this was the first time we saw, like, really a biological life form, pretty much. So, I don't know. I'm seeing where it goes. But I shouldn't criticize. I think it was a lot better. It was so bad the first half of the season. I'm just so glad to see it, like, in familiar territory that I'm enjoying more.
So,
all right. I guess we got it covered now. Okay. A show that is not improving. Very much. How'd you feel as you watched this?
Good until Octavia woke up.
Yeah. You know what? I felt a lot like I didn't care if Octavia lived or died, right? Like, I felt like, oh, you know, if Olivia dies and the show goes in that direction, that's fine. I mean, I guess if she wakes up, that'll be okay, and they'll continue with her and Orin's storyline. But I didn't really feel very invested in Octavia. I didn't really feel like I cared very much, which is terrible, right? She used to be the greatest character, a really good character on the show, and now I don't even care if she lives. That's sad.
Well,
were you pulled for her, or did you care?
I don't want to see Octavia go because I still have hope that they fix this. And I, you know, and I want to, you know, we talked about we don't need, apparently we do need flashbacks because I need to see. And based on the previews, it's not going to happen next week. But I need to see what this darkest year is that they keep talking about.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
When Indra and Octavia are talking, she's like, we got to, you know, Indra says, we got through the darkest year, we'll get through this. And Octavia, you know, is like, I don't want to talk about that. And I want to talk about it. I want to know what the hell the darkest year is, because apparently the darkest year is what started this whole mess. And Octavia has, you know, I mean, and you see Octavia cry at the end there. And I think that's kind of, you know, to let us know that, I feel like where they're going, I think Octavia is scared more than anything, honestly. I think that she's doing this stuff and she's acting this way because she has to.
Yeah.
Because she knows the minute she shows any signs of weakness that it all comes crumbling down. And I feel like, and there's another reason I need to see The Darkest Year, because somebody I don't care if he lives or die, it's fucking Miller.
Oh my God, when did Miller become, they certainly ruined Miller, and I hope he dies.
You know, I mean, Indra did this whole speech and everything, and Miller steps up and he's like, you don't have that right. That's the thing. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me, Miller? Like, I feel like Miller forgot where he came from.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know,
like, he was from Sky Crew, and who could not, I can't imagine now, okay, this one crew business, blah, 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 whatever. How could anyone not feel that Indra has the right to lead in Octavia's absence, right? I mean, that's just crazy.
And
Miller's really bad.
And there's so much convolution in this whole thing. I mean, Bellamy, for crying. No, we'll kill this person, but we're not killing my sister. Okay, I'll drug my sister because if she wasn't my sister, I would have done it already. Okay, I know I promised
Clark. And she might die, but
nothing would happen. Yeah, I know I promised Clark that I would take care of Maddie, but instead I'm going to use Maddie to fix this whole situation because our plan didn't work. You know, it's but you know what? I mean, it's like, and it's so difficult because while Bellamy clearly did the wrong thing with Maddie, it was actually the right thing. It's the right move. You know, it's hard because, you know, you care about the characters, you know, and, you know, and there's the consequences of right and wrong, but it, at the same time, it's like there's right and wrong, and then there's, well, we're in a really bad spot. We need to rectify. So, you know, at what point does doing the right thing become the wrong thing? You know what I mean? Or the bad choice, you know? So you know, and then on the other side of the world, in the valley, oh, my God,
oh,
can they just toss a bomb and blow everybody up except for a ragtag bunch of Murphy. Murphy, just save Murphy, Raven, Echo, and
Amori.
Amori.
Amori's over there,
You know what? Bring the worms and tell the worms, leave those four alone, and we're good. Oh, my God.
I love Murphy.
Murphy was so great in this episode. They're like, Murphy, what are you doing? And Amori's like, he's being Murphy.
Yeah.
And then he throws the rock to start the fight. And oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, Murphy is great, and he had a moment which was a good moment for Murphy when you know, he's like, I have to stay, it's Abby, I have to stay. Like, Murphy is really the only person on this show who has any loyalty to anybody at all, because I'm every week I'm appalled at how these people show no respect for Clark, who, I mean, she was Juan Heda, she saved their lives so many times, and she sacrificed herself to save them from Prime Fire, and they all assume she was dead. And then she comes back, and they treat her like crap. Like, she should be revered like a goddess among these people, right? And nobody shows any respect for her, for Indra, for anything. And Murphy's the only person who, look, as horrible as Abby is, and I really wouldn't mind if she died either, because she's become pretty...
She has died.
I mean,
I'm so tired of Abby.
Their portrayal of her as a drug addict has... unfortunately robbed her of any personality whatsoever and made it hard for me to care about whether or not she recovers, right? Like, who cares if Abby recovers or not?
Right.
And Kane, like, is kind of ruined also. I don't even know what's Kane. And instead, they're sort of starting to position... I mean, Dioza is going to live, right? They're definitely positioning Dioza as a character that we need to be sympathetic to. She's going to live. And it looks like, I thought McCreary was dead, and then he's not, right? Like, I thought she had stabbed McCreary and killed him.
Yeah, McCreary can't be completely dead yet, because since they're, you know, making Deos a reasonable character now, you still need your big bad, who's McCreary.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not happy with any of it over there. I think I agree with you. If Raven and her gang can escape, they'll take Shaw and move on from there.
I know Raven's got, you know, warm and fuzzy for him, but I don't even give a shit about Shaw. I got a feeling about Vincent too.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely, I feel like, setting him up to have he's going to have a soft spot for Abby and save her, right? Even though he's a serial killer.
I think Vincent's going to eat McCreary.
That would be great. I would love that.
Because
then McCreary would be gone.
Totally right. I think Vincent's going to create an attachment to Abby, and he's going to be instrumental in helping to end this entire mess. And he'll probably die himself too, but
they've established that he's a serial killer who can't resist his urges, so he can't really live on the show, right? That's a problematic character.
I did have one problem with Clark. I think it was a really bad move for shooting that big problem. One big problem is when she shot the guy that pledged his allegiance to Maddie.
Oh, yeah.
There was no reason to kill him. He's just the person of what you need. If you want to keep Maddie safe, you need guys like that. You need guys that as soon as they realize she's the commander, they're going to stop dead in their tracks and bow down. And you just shot your first ally.
Yep. Yeah, and it's too late. The flame is in her. She's not going to be able to get it out. The kid only took the flame because she wanted to save Clark. And then Clark, you know, and it annoyed me when Clark shot him and Maddie goes, "Why'd you shoot him?" And Clark says, "You know why I shot him." And I was like, come on, you know, you got an audience here. Could you just like articulate what, like you don't want to have any followers, but like based on what you just said, which is totally what Clark should have thought, it makes no sense that Clark shot him. So, and Clark's like, "You know why I shot him."
It's because now that Clark's a mother, she's turning into Abby.
Yeah. Yeah, because we complained about Abby for 3 seasons about how Abby made all these dumb decisions that were so bad for the community because her priority was always saving Clark, even when Clark was like, "Don't save me,
exactly.
I'm Juan Hada." Yeah, and she is turning into Abby, which is kind of terrible. So I think they need to kill like half of these characters, and they need to kill Miller. So it aired tonight, right? And I didn't watch it, but my DVR picked it up, and the DVR description says for next week, this is not a spoiler, Monty tries to convince Juan Crew that there's another way, which, you know, we've seen they've made Monty be this guy, like, peacemaker kind of guy.
He's been trying to do that all along.
Yeah.
I thought that was a nice scene, too, with Monty and what's her fate, or was that last week when they were like, she's like, if you want to stay when everybody leaves, we'll stay.
That was last week.
When they're in
Monty and her name? I want to call her Morgan, but that's not her name.
No, it's
girlfriend
Harper.
Up there, yeah. Harper, yeah.
Harper.
I knew it was like a last name. A last name for a first name.
Yeah. So, you know, and now of course Bellum, you know, they're gonna all be in the pit, fighting amongst each other. So that should be interesting.
Especially the last thing we saw was Octavia with that tear in her eye, and I felt like part of the reason the tear was in her eye was because she's like sacrificing, she's like basically sending her brother to and Indra to death, right?
Yeah.
Her two like favorite people in
the
world.
Exactly.
The only people she loves anymore, right? Yeah, and I don't really know. If she's so all-powerful and every person will do exactly what she says, why does she feel so strongly that this is what she has to do? I think you're right. We need to see what happened underground.
Well, because the minute she decides that she's going to spare them, then the entire thing comes into question, and somebody does something wrong, and you throw them in the pit, and they're like, well, you let your brother go, you let Indra go, and it just... It creates
and you killed all those other people. Yeah.
Yeah.
She needs to lighten up.
But
I
really think we need to see the darkest year, because at least if they give us that, at least maybe it'll shed some light on all this, because these people are not, especially Miller and Octavia especially, because we know these characters and they are not even remotely who we knew.
Miller, especially. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Octavia was always a very angry girl and in a lot of pain.
Right.
But she wasn't like this. And Miller, yeah. That needs. I think you're right. A flashback is in order for us to see what went on there.
We need
I would really appreciate. Are you listening, show writers? I would appreciate that. We'd appreciate seeing that.
It doesn't matter if they're listening or not, because all the episodes are filmed.
I know, right? Everything's shot. Everything's done. We'll have to see how it plays out for us. And we got it mostly covered, I think, right?
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right.
So on to Preacher, then.
Okay, on to Preacher. Another one that I thought was a better episode this week. although I don't really like the direction Jesse's going in, and I kind of, you know, this doesn't happen in the comic book, right? He doesn't go back to Angelville and stay and live with his grandmother and stuff.
Not to this extent.
At one point someone said this place brings out the worst in him, and it truly does. It was kind of obvious that he was doing what he was doing. I mean, we knew what he was doing was to try to save Cassidy, not to kill him. And And we knew he broke up with that girl. It was obvious that he was breaking up with that girl to save her, not to hurt her.
Yeah.
Also.
But then he kills her brother.
Yeah, and I guess we kind of knew that there was maybe going to be more. I mean, you know.
But
it was good. I mean, I enjoyed.
Not because of the breakup.
Yeah. I enjoyed getting that backstory, and it also kind of helps to explain the rivalry between the Boyds and the Angels, or whatever their name is, was always there, but it kind of explains how it got to be so violent and strong a rivalry and a hatred, right?
Right.
That Jesse killed one of them. They have a good reason to be mad. So I enjoyed getting that backstory and that explanation sort of what went on there. And it's helping us to hate Grandma more and more, which is part of the point also. Right?
Yeah, and Tulip saw Jesse in action, even though he had something up his sleeve and got the teacher out of there. Or the teacher. Well, I mean, I like how they got he got Cassidy. Yeah, he used it. I can't even talk. He used the teacher to get Cassidy out of there, and Cassidy
himself,
meat suit still works the best. I'm glad when Cassidy and Tulip had their little conversation, and he tells her that he loves her, and she says, "You do know I'm never going to love you, though, right?" And you see him thinking about the love potion, and he decides against it. So at least I was glad that happened, that he didn't use it. I have a feeling that he is going to use it at some point, though, simply because he has it.
It's like Chekhov's gun, right? If you see the love potion, it's going to be used.
But then again, I mean, there's a possibility that the point of the love potion was to show us Cassidy's process, unless it's just a tool to show us he had every opportunity to use it and he chose not to. So, for us to visualize that he's on his way back to being more amicable with things with Jesse.
I was encouraged.
The Saint.
Oh, so that was great, right? It was great to see the Saint back again. I really loved that scene. There was a scene where they showed the Saint and he's walking into Satan's office, or he's sitting in Satan's office, but there's a scene where he's got the hat on and his face is all black, and you just see like this black shadow and maybe a little bit of his chin. And I thought, that is so like a comic book. Like, how many panels have you seen in a comic book where the hat like shaves the character's face and it's like almost completely black except for the outline of the face? I think particularly with the Saint, they do a really good job of evoking comic, the comic sensibility.
Right.
I was
a little disappointed that Satan was comical.
Yeah, he was a little comical, and yet I don't know if he appears in the comic book, and if that's what he, I mean, that's what I think Satan would look like in a comic book. He does not.
No.
He was comical. But he was a little too jokey. Yeah. I know what you mean there. I'm not sure. So we didn't get to see who he wants. He wants the saint to retrieve two people and bring them. And it's got to be Hitler and Eugene, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody else has escaped.
No.
Yeah, it's a thing that's pretty obvious. You know what I thought was kind of interesting and or funny? I don't even know how to call it, but the saint's being whipped that whole time, and we see
mm-hmm.
his back as he's walking out. I mean, there's no skin left. We see bone.
Yeah.
Well, what's the point of that?
Through.
Because the saint, we didn't hear him screaming. He wasn't in any type of pain or agony.
Right.
So what's the point of it?
That he was whipped so severely and for so long that they whipped away all of his flesh. I mean, he's immortal, right?
If it doesn't cause him pain, what's the point? I mean, the whole point of whipping somebody is pain.
I didn't take it that he didn't experience pain. I just took it that he was so, like, stoic that he never flinched. I didn't take it that the saint can't feel pain. I took it that the saint didn't. He's so strong that he didn't express his pain.
Okay.
and that's what impressed Satan so much. I also have to say, shout out, I did really appreciate Sydney, the angel of death, who did the whipping.
Yeah.
And that Satan was so sort of like dismissing her as a minion, but she was kind of cool. But no, I took it that not that he doesn't experience pain, but that he was like he's a saint. He doesn't mind over matter or whatever.
Okay.
I also think they just did that because someone on the production thought it would be a cool visual to do that. Probably someone in the writer's room was like, ooh, and how about she's whipped him so hard that it went all the way through his whole body and you can, you know, and somebody just learned about it and thought that would be cool.
You gotta remember, one of the executive producers is Seth Rogen, so we might, Dally knows some of the stuff he thought up when he was high.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, probably, right, could have been right out of his, he loves this story, right? He's been wanting to bring this story to,
yeah.
Wow, it's raining. He's been wanting to, he loves Preacher, he's been wanting to bring this comic book to the screen for a while, right? I mean, this was, he was a driving force, he optioned it, he brought it. Wow, it just started raining really hard at my house, wow.
Yeah, it was like that earlier today.
Yeah. Yeah, so, so it's interesting to see the saint. I guess I had always thought of the saint last year as this person who was going to pursue Jesse. And, he existed to make Jesse's life miserable and be a foil for Jesse. And he's actually going to go after Eugene and Hitler, we believe, which is going to be great because I kind of miss Eugene. And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I kind of miss Hitler. We haven't seen them all season, right? So it'll be good to have them have a storyline.
Right.
I forgot
about Hitler.
I kind of did also. And the deal is, if the saint brings these two back, the devil will let him go after Jesse. Will like let him out of hell so he can pursue
right.
Jesse, who he hates. And I forget why, but he wants to get Jesse. Jesse stole part of his soul or something, right? Or
no,
I forget.
Jesse
I can't remember
him,
what.
Jesse gave him his soul, part of his soul, so that the saint could go to heaven, but it backfired.
Right. It backfired, and the saint went to hell. Yeah. So he can go after Jesse. That'll be good. I had kind of forgotten about him, and it'll be good to have him back. There's so much moving parts here, right? Like, we haven't, like, the Grail, we saw a little bit of the Grail, they're gone. There's so many, like, moving storylines of people out doing their thing. I mean, I'm sure they'll all come together again before the end of the season, but.
Yeah, I mean, this is only episode 4. And I don't even know if we have 10 or 13 this season.
It seems like it's been going on for more than 4.
Doesn't it?
It does, yeah. We're only in I was almost kind of surprised just now when
maybe
you said we're only in episode four.
Or maybe this. Yeah, no.
It's not more than five.
Four.
I think it's four. Yeah, I think it's four.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it's four.
Yeah, we might only have 10, you're right. So. I think we have a lot of people who need to die. Like, I don't know if they would have everybody, like, if they're really going to kill Grandma or resolve that differently so she can be out there as this, if they could revisit her in the future. I don't know. Kill her and release Jesse or leave her alive and let her be, you know, a possible storyline in the future. She's, I don't know.
Right.
I mean, the comic book didn't run that long, and I don't know if they killed in the comic book. I don't really need to know or want to know right now. But it does seem to be the only way to release Jesse.
I think there was only... Yeah, I mean, the comic book was a limited... It was always designed as a limited run. It was like, I think... I want to say it was like 64 issues or something. I don't even remember how many issues it was, but...
Yeah, and everybody in Angel was already a bigger character, right?
Yeah.
They're already bigger characters than they were in the book. So who knows what'll happen with that. Yeah. So.
No,
all right. Anything else that we're
using?
No, I mean,
no,
I guess early in the season, they're still, like, developing stuff. I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, we did, you know, I wanted to ask you something. I didn't rewind, and I didn't see, but when Angel's in the car, not Angel, when Tulip's in the car, and she's got her head down on the wheel, and a motorcycle goes flying by. Was that God on the motorcycle with that girl?
I thought it was, but I wasn't sure. I didn't rewind it either.
Yeah, I thought, I thought, and I was like, oh, that must have been God, was really all I thought about it. I didn't, I don't know who it was, but I think it was nice little shout out to God there for a minute.
Yeah.
That whole storyline is out there, too. All right. So.
Well.
All right. I guess that's it for this week, huh? Short show.
Yeah, next week we've got these three again, and we'll be adding Winona Earp to the show. And then the following week...
Killjoys.
Oh, is Killjoys back too? Okay, maybe Killjoys.
Okay. Yep.
But I'm excited for 2 weeks, because on the 25th, Castle Rock premieres on Hulu on the 25th.
Oh, yeah. I know you're excited for that.
So in 2 weeks we will have that on this year. Real quick,
yeah.
Actually, I was talking about this before you came on. Do you have Netflix?
I do not have Netflix, but I have ways of seeing Netflix shows.
Okay. Well, you should just get Netflix. It's not that expensive, and there's so much good stuff on there. If you ever get a chance, I don't know how much you'd enjoy it, but. I recently started watching The Santa Clarita Diet with Timothy Oliphant and Drew Barrymore, and it is friggin' hilarious.
Zombies, right?
Actually, you might like it. Yeah, I was saying you might like it, because if you like iZombie, I mean, I never watched iZombie, but I think this is probably funnier. It's so funny. I mean, it's a totally different concept. Drew Barrymore's character becomes a zombie and has no idea how. And it's just, it's really funny.
Well, and I like Timothy Oliphant as a comedian. He was hilarious in The Grinder. With a very, like, deadpan kind of style. I don't know if you ever watched that. He was really good in that. So, yeah, I'll check it out. While we're talking about shows to check out, I've been watching Ghosted on, I think it's on NBC. It's a 30-minute comedy about people who work in, like, an X-Files type of office. Called the Bureau Underground. It has been canceled, although they're still letting season one run. And I gotta tell you, Allie Walker plays the boss of this the Bureau Underground, this sort of paranormal investigation unit. And this has a very like The Office kind of vibe to this show. It's about these misfits in this office. And she's hilarious. She's this deadpan, really. And if you enjoy Allie Walker, it's worth checking out to see her in this sort of, like, workplace comedy paranormal thing. It's just a little half-hour show, so you can burn through it fast. And she's, for me, she's really a highlight of it. Because I love her.
I will maybe check that out. I was gonna mention this news if to see if Jamie knew, which she probably does. I mean, for Jamie's sake, maybe I hope it happens. I don't care one way or the other because it was so bad. But Shadowhunters, the creators, have been in meetings with Netflix. There's a chance Netflix might revive Shadowhunters.
Really? Wow.
I was surprised myself.
I'm surprised. At the time it got canceled, there was talk of the producers were like, we'd be willing to do a movie to close it out next year. Going to another season would be great for that show. I never really was into, but Jamie, apparently it got a lot better after those first few episodes when I abandoned it. Because a lot of people like it. So interesting news.
We'll be back here next week.
All right. See you back here next Tuesday, AJ.
I will.
All right.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Roger and NDB Media, and on behalf of Jamie and myself and Karen, everyone have a great week, and we'll do it again next week. Good night.